listening to the podcast of Eucharist Church in San Francisco, a community of faith seeking to live all of life in reference to Christ. Join us now for this week's message.
As most of you know, I became a father for the first time this past year when my son was born in February. It's him who's making the noise in the back of the room. As I reflect back on that experience, it comes with all sorts of emotions for me. In the midst of more bodily fluids than I imagine humanly possible, in the midst of pain and extreme exhaustion, in the midst of thick tension that bridged into sheer terror in moments, in the midst of all of this, a new life emerged into the world and gasped for his first breath of air. It was an amazing moment. The truth is that I was so nauseated and lightheaded at the moment that I almost missed out on the whole thing. Ironically, Elizabeth, who was doing the actual work, was just fine. I was the one in question. The nurses were so worried about me, actually, that I was going to lose consciousness, that they started to call a gurney to take me down to the ER. True story. But I prevailed, and I recovered enough to do the fatherly duty of snipping the cord. Truly, there are no words adequate to describe the moment of a birth. You have this mysterious, almost overwhelming sensation that you're observing something holy. A human being with a distinct identity of his or her own, a human soul that didn't even exist 9 months earlier, emerges from the inside of another human being in order to forever remain a separate person. So weird. And yet nothing is more human than childbirth. One thing I've heard over and over from others, and something that resonates with my own experience, is that when a baby is born, there's an amazing amount of joy. I had the privilege of visiting two newborn babies last week, baby Isaac Hanna and baby Ivan Jorgensen, who's over here today. It was so wonderful to see their little wrinkled faces with their little tiny fingers, and to see their parents, weary but joyful. Babies are such a gift. And so on the eve of the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we're filled with some of these same feelings of joy. One of the strange things I've noticed is that everyone seems to ask the same question when they hear about a newborn baby. Maybe it's because we don't know what to talk about. But if you're around a newborn for more than a couple of minutes, someone inevitably asks, "So how much did he weigh when he came out?" We never ask the question about people later in life. Like, I had a 40th birthday this year, nobody asked me how much I weighed. I was grateful for that. But for babies, we want to know. Maybe it's because we want to know how much sympathy to extend to the mother. I met a mom recently that gave birth to an 11 and a half pound baby. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. That's like more than Nathan weighed at 3 months. You know, that's a lot. I talked to my dad, and I asked him, my dad is an OBGYN doctor, he's retired now, and I asked him, what's the heaviest baby that you ever had delivered in your whole career? And it was 15 pounds, 6 ounces. Quick trivia question, do you know how much the heaviest baby ever born naturally weighed? 22 pounds, 8 ounces. Yeah, 1955 to an Italian lady. The weight of a baby seems to mean something to us. Mostly we're looking for whether, you know, the baby is in the spectrum of what is considered, you know, healthy. But maybe, just maybe, there is something more to a baby's weight. We might think that measuring the weight of a baby is merely a modern phenomenon, but I'd like to suggest that it has an ancient echo in the story of Jesus. The Gospel of Luke offers a number of interesting details about the birth of Jesus. And while Luke doesn't give us the precise weight of Jesus, he does tell us that Jesus was heavy. This might be a little obscure, so follow me for a minute here. There's a word that shows up a handful of times in the account of Jesus' birth. An odd word. A word that we don't usually use in everyday conversation. It's the word glory. When the angels announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, the whole scene is filled with references to the word glory. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, Luke tells us. And after describing where to find the baby, the heavenly host starts singing about the glory of God. And then when the shepherds go to visit Jesus, they come away glorifying God. There's a whole lot of glory being referred to in this story. And it all has to do with the baby. Now, glory is a hard word to define. Roughly speaking, it refers to one's reputation in Greek. But that doesn't really get at the essence of what the word is after. A much better way to grasp the biblical meaning of the word glory is to come at it from the Old Testament. And the word in Hebrew in the Old Testament is kavod, which means heavy. Heavy or weighty. The glory of God is the weightiness of God. Another way to convey this is to think about how we describe certain situations or people as having a certain degree of gravity to them. Or we talk about heavy hitters sometimes. When Luke peppers the story with the word glory, he's trying to tell us that Jesus was a heavy baby. A heavy baby. There is immense gravity to the birth of this child. He isn't just any baby. This isn't just the joy that every family and community feels about a child being born. This story that he's telling is about a weighty baby. And there's something going on here that can't be measured in ounces and pounds. The weightiness of this baby is witnessed primarily by the host of heaven, by the angels. The heavenly hosts are exploding with joy. It's like there's something that they know, some mystery that they're aware of, something going on that they can't find proper words for. All they can do is give us the witness of the heaviness and the gravity of it all. The passage we heard read from Isaiah today referred to the baby being born upon whom authority rests. Isaiah goes on to give him extremely elevated titles. He is named the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. That's quite a name for a baby. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is Isaiah's attempt to articulate something mysterious and category bending about this promised child. The angels describe the child being born as, quote, a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Again, these are pretty important titles. None of these titles are capable of conveying the whole story, though. And so they just fall back on this word glory. Language can't contain or articulate the weightiness of this person in this moment. How do you describe the mystery of the incarnation? How do you put words to the transcendent creator of the universe entering into his own creation as one of the most vulnerable things imaginable? An embryo that develops inside of another creature into an infant that is totally dependent on his mother. There are no words for this weighty idea. God, who exists outside of time, submits himself to the slow processes of development within time, starting as an embryo, developing into a fetus that becomes a newborn, and then a toddler, and then a boy who becomes an adolescent, and finally develops into an adult with a public ministry. More than 30 years. This is so slow. I'm so impatient. This is so slow. God skips no steps. Jesus enters into full solidarity with us in every aspect. I was thinking the other day and wondering if perhaps the incarnation was God's first real experience of waiting. You know, if we think about God as being outside of time, which is how theologians usually conceive of him, and thus eternally present to all moments, he's never really waited, if you think about it that way. He's never really waited. And yet, now, from within the experience of humanity, bound within time, God clothed in human flesh in the person of Jesus is located within time. He experiences waiting the way that we do. He could have skipped all of that and just come as an adult ready to start his ministry, but he didn't. He came as an embryo with 9 months inside of another creature as the first leg of his whole journey. The lengths to which God goes to redeem his enslaved, lost, and broken creation is absurd. Really, it blows the minds of angels. What they're observing is totally unpredictable. They could never have thought of this in 1,000,000,000,000 years, and yet it is totally in line with what the angels know about the character and reputation of God. And so all they can do is talk about the glory of God, the weightiness of God, the heaviness of God. We hear a lot of things talked about at Christmas time. stuff about family and gift giving and peace on earth and being kind to those who are unfortunate, stuff about stars and wise men and mangers. And all this is good stuff. But here's the thing about the story of the Nativity. It can never be reduced to mushy sentimentalism or to a cute moral lesson. It isn't merely about being a little bit more kind or about giving to those who have not enough, as good as important as those things are. The trajectory of this story points us in one direction, toward dumbfounded worship. Dumbfounded worship. It points us towards the absurdity of God's love for us. Love that defies words, but which we know is the most weighty stuff in the universe. This story is about glory. It's about the weightiness of a very, very heavy baby. A baby who calls us to live our life completely and totally in reference to Him. He is the center of gravity. All of reality slopes toward Him and exists from Him. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things, as the scriptures say. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. He is the beginning and He is the end. He is the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Word made flesh, the glory of the Father's only Son. He is Emmanuel, God with us, Yeshua, the Savior of the world, the Messiah of His people, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, what we are called to do on Christmas Eve is to worship. To enter into the weightiness of what angels celebrate, so that we, like the shepherds of old, come away glorifying and praising God for all that we have heard and seen. And so, church, let us worship the heavy baby. O come, let us adore Him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's take just a moment. Father, we come to You so grateful for Jesus. In the midst of all the things that claim to be significant and weighty and have gravity, they are nothing compared to You, Jesus. And so we worship You. We offer ourselves to You completely in every way, holding back nothing, because You are worthy of our praise and worship. We ask that You would give us a perspective that is right this Christmas. Fill us with Your Spirit. Draw us to Your heart, Father. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Eucharist Podcast. For more information, you can visit our website at eucharistsf.org.